This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Julian and Shanning. Now, we've been running a poll this morning on the BFM Twitter account. That's at BFM Radio. We've asked you, on an individual level, do you feel that you are globally competitive? Do tell us why or why not. We've had about 50 votes so far. And so far, the majority, about 35%, have said yes, they do feel that they are globally competitive. Another 27% said no. Another 30% said they want to be. While another 6% said they don't. No. And you've got about an hour left to vote on the poll if you haven't already. So please do weigh in on that conversation. And why we're asking is because former Finance Minister Tunda M. Zainuddin has said that Malaysia is far from reaching the status of a developed country. And he made this statement at the launch of the International Conference on Emerging Issues in Public Policy at the University of Malaya.
I think it sounds like Dame Zainuddin is trying to undo a lot of the scourge of his policy of the 90s. This is one of the major policy tenets of the 90s. It wouldn't be surprising that if you have a government's life support all the time supporting you in your business ventures, and these are not like small startup ventures of nascent innovative industries, but these are like major businesses, right? Almost as good as nationalized business. It's not surprising that if you have a crutch on the government that you become not very competitive.
Which is why there's this drive, right, to remove government from business, isn't it? And also for the GLCs, the government shareholding in GLCs to be reduced. Anyway, this Council of Eminence Person Chairman, Tun Daim, said there's still many challenges that face Malaysians. He says Malaysians are far from being a united people. Malaysians are far from being able to embrace differences and changes.
And one of the things that he emphasised is education, because he says that that's the main cause of these challenges, the unpreparedness in education. And he believes that the Education Ministry has failed to prioritise the right issues and to address them appropriately. So this has overall held back the progress of reforms for the national policy. And according to him, this is the reason that Malaysia has failed. And it's, I think, unfortunate also that we've been seeing some announcements out of the Education Ministry these past couple of days, which have also raised the question of how effective is our Education Ministry in actually setting an education policy and stance going forward because they seem to be focusing on things that shouldn't really be at the forefront of our national priorities, like introducing Arabic calligraphy into schools.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that also the PTPTN issue would feature very prominently in this discussion, because you here have a whole generation of students who have taken out loans to spend on what is a very, very basic need in education. So it raises the cost factor. How are we going to fund these things while education at the same time is, I believe, a basic human right, right? You need to be able to be educated, even in higher education, not just primary and secondary, but also higher education.
Yeah, and when you mention higher education, the question I have is there currently a mismatch of skills versus jobs? Because if we look at the youth unemployment in Malaysia, it's surprisingly very high. So yes, you have definitely in the last 20, 30 years, more graduates in Malaysia, but are we preparing them for the real workforce out there? And are we giving them the real skills also? Because there's so much changes in terms of employment, right, in the last few years.
Yeah, I think we had numbers recently that youth unemployment was at something like 11% of
Our unemployment rate is very low, it's 3%, but youth unemployment is above 10%.
And it's above the average for the ASEAN region as well, because the ASEAN average is about 9%. And a part of this has been attributed to this mismatch of skills, because graduates come out of universities without actually the proper skills to equip them in the workforce. These are not the skills that employers necessarily want. And what is the reason for that at the end of the day? It comes back to to education systems themselves, and particularly also I feel the rise of private education in the country. Now, we've seen so many private universities coming up that the emphasis is really it really seems as if it has shifted towards making money off of these graduates rather than actually preparing them for entry into the workforce and to contribute to the country as a whole.
Yeah, the other point that's being raised is that's being talked about by Daim, of course, who's a member of the Council of Eminent Persons, is that the suggestion that perhaps NEP hasn't worked and it has to be dismantled. And Tun Daim is quoted as saying, "We cannot allow Bumiputra interventions to continue to enrich those among us who have benefited from these policies." This seems to be a kind of mea culpa of what was done before, right? And this is absolutely true. It doesn't mean that just because it came out of the horse's mouth that is not true. It is true. We need to have a hard relook at the kind of policy that can benefit all peoples as well as keep to our ideal of shared prosperity.
Well, this was under Dato' Azmin Ali's agenda, right, to mm-hmm. actually reform the whole Bumiputra policy. So the question is, what is the best moving forward? I mean, even Tun Daim chimes in. He says that the Bumiputras can still stand to gain from a needs-based policy. He does recognise that it does need to be revised, though, the NEP.
Yes, in order that all Malaysians will have a fair share of that national prosperity. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.